Before this episode begins, I just wanted to voice my appreciation for the Whalen family, Lauren Bland, and the entire North American Sand Soccer Championship team for everything they've done for beach soccer. This is an event that I've attended many years and always makes for the best weekend. I can say with confidence that my love for beach soccer wouldn't be where it's at today without this event, and to best honor its founder, Dick Whalen, I'd like to play this interview clip that he and his son Matt got to be a part of, describing what this event means to the local community and beach soccer as a whole.
The beach is anything but stable. Wind, waves, and water constantly change the landscape. But for 24 years, every June, this land of sand, Virginia Beach, has been as automatic as a sunburn in summertime.
None of us had any idea what beach soccer was all about.
When Dick Whalen founded the North American Sand Soccer Championships, just 26 teams took part. This weekend, more than 1,000 teams, made up of more than 11,000 players, will play more than 2,000 games on a setup that spans 25 blocks of Virginia Beach.
World Cup athletes who do this as a living travel all around the world. They know Virginia Beach and they know the Sand Soccer Championships, and we are, to them, truly the big one on the planet.
For Whalen, it's about the kids. Dick has three of his own and seven grandchildren. His youngest son, Matt, is now his right-hand man, serving as director of operations for the Sand Soccer Championships.
We tolerate each other sometimes. We question each other. We push each other to be better. But, you know, you can see the product that's out there. And it comes from a lot of passion. It really does.
For Whalen and Whalen, it's about the kids. Revenues from the championships help fund and grow the 75-acre Hampton Roads Soccer Complex, a premier facility for youth soccer in this area.
The soccer culture around here is vibrant. Why wouldn't we do something like this? And now it's just built into the fabric of our city.
If you mix sand, cement, and water, you can make concrete. For this sand to set in stone a marquee event every June, it just took some DNA and a love for soccer.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to Hashtag Spread the Sand. I'm Dylan Thompson. And with me today, I have Director of Operations of the North American Sand Soccer Championships, Matt Whalen, and Lauren Bland, Executive Director of the Hampton Roads Soccer Council. Matt, Lauren, how y'all doing?
Doing great today, Dylan. Thanks for having us.
Good. Thanks for having us.
No, definitely. Thank you for coming on. So before we get started, Matt and Lauren, this North American Sand Soccer Championships, just so everyone who's listening knows, is a huge beach soccer event here in the United States, hosted in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And as I come on here and talk about it as from a beach soccer perspective, it's so much more than just a beach soccer initiative, a beach soccer tournament, a beach soccer event. As I've learned, it comes full circle. And I kind of want to talk, Lauren, a little bit about how this event does that for the community and how the community is tied in.
Yeah, so absolutely. This event, what's great about this event is that it was created by locals, hosted by locals, and benefits the local community. And so in our area in Virginia Beach, we're fortunate to have four soccer clubs that make up the Hampton Roads Soccer Council as our affiliate clubs. We have Beach FC, a youth club, the Virginia Rush, another youth club, Savisa, the Southeastern Virginia Women's Soccer Association, and OTSL, the over 30 soccer league that's for adult men. And what really makes this event special is in most communities, soccer clubs compete against each other. They compete against each other for players, for talent, for coaches, for staff, for everything. And this event is really that singular force that brings everybody together. Our event, all the money that's raised from sand soccer goes back into the Hampton Roads Soccer Complex, which is where all of the clubs play. So they really benefit from the success of sand soccer. Our soccer complex is awesome. I've lived and worked all over the country, and I think ours is one of the best. And so we're grateful that, you know, Dick Whalen, who created the North American Sand Soccer Championships, had the vision as this being a great fundraising tool for the community to benefit from.
Definitely. So a little bit on my background, I played at the complex, and I can definitely attest to how great of a complex it is. My siblings play there as well. And I would say my sister playing for Beach FC, a little plug here. that complex was definitely kind of a route for her and a stepping stone for her to play at the college level now. So this event, everything it encompasses, right? So what you said originally about it just pumping back into the Hampton Roads Soccer Council, those four clubs being able to give back to the community, that's huge. I commend you on all of that, and I think that that's amazing. So Matt, kind of talking about your experience as the director of operations, what does the director of operations role look like for you?
Oh my gosh.
Depends on the day.
Well, you know, this is a 12-month out of the year position, so this isn't something we get to take a breather on. So the day after the previous event ends, we're planning for the next year, and so getting all those lessons learned out of the way. But really, you know, the big focus that I have is I oversee really the laydown of the beach. I'm the liaison between HRSC and the city. So dealing with all of our city entities, because that's a giant stakeholder in order to take over close to 25 city blocks. They're kind of a major player in all of this. So I have a handle in anybody that owns real estate at the oceanfront for our event. So the contractor that helps us set up, the beach operations people that move all the sand for us, dealing with all the lifeguards and the life safety folks down there. Oh, yeah. And then there's all the teams. You know, anywhere between 900 and 1,000 teams on a good year. Overseeing just referees and overseeing the referees and the fields and all of that, you know, is really the. You know, probably most of the of what my position entails, and of course the setup for the beach, but overseeing the U.S. Open is something that probably sucks up the most time during that weekend, just because that's kind of the flagship event for our whole tournament there, and so that's the draw from a sponsor standpoint, from a community standpoint, from a kind of a notoriety and press standpoint. So we put a lot of eggs in that basket, definitely.
So needless to say, you're a people person. I think that's what I gathered out of that.
Well, I am, until I have to deal with that really unhappy coach or team manager because their kid's team didn't advance because of our tiebreaker rules or whatever it is, or the referee missed a call. And oh, by the way, I get to deal with all of those folks as well. And so I'm a people person up until that point, and then maybe I'm not so great to deal with.
Fair enough. You got to be consistent throughout the weekend.
We try to be.
So we kind of breezed over it, but it being a huge portion of what the operation is, how do you set up 63 fields in 3 days?
Our people, you know, Lauren noted the four affiliate clubs that are a part of the Hampton Roads Soccer Council, and they are the heartbeat of this event. They provide pretty much all of the volunteers for this event. And so those are the folks that are out there throughout the year inventorying everything. They're assisting our ground staff at the Hampton Roads Soccer Council or Hampton Roads Soccer Complex with getting all that equipment ready. And then there's a major load into all of our trucks to bring that down to the street, down to the beach. And then it's up to all of those moms and dads and folks that are helping out at the beach to set up those 63 fields. So actually physically on the beach, we're down there usually on like a Tuesday, dumping a lot of our equipment. Then we build out all of our goals, all of our fields, and the stadium is kind of something that happens in parallel throughout the entire week. Go ahead, Lauren.
But I want to say we've gotten better. We've gotten smarter with the way we do things. So I've been here for almost 3 years, right? And so my brain thinks logistics, how do we make it better, faster, more efficient? And since I arrived, my position was new. And so I have a great opportunity to blend the soccer complex talent with the sand soccer talent, meaning staff and people. And the first thing I pitched was, why don't we weld a bunch of our goals? So they're already welded and assembled. And so so right now we have about 60 goals that are welded. And so that definitely helps. I don't know how Matt and crew for 22 years before that set everything up before it was welded. It was just, it's wild. The first year I was here and I saw it, I literally couldn't believe how much manpower went into setting up 63 fields. And I've worked in the sports industry all over the East Coast, and I've never seen anything like it. And so, as Matt said, it's a testament to the local community. I mean, it takes hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of volunteers, and we're so grateful that we have the support of our affiliate clubs and military members and business community that, you know, pour their time, talent, and energy into this event. They don't have to, but they choose to, and it's awesome. I've never seen anything like it.
So we talk about the local community, the soccer community. So what makes Virginia Beach a great location besides the amazing support from the soccer groups?
Yeah. Have you seen how big our beach is? Well, you know, the oceanfront, we have come to be one of those big major players as an event in Virginia Beach. The city knows that when sand soccer comes in 2 weeks after Memorial Day, we're going to shut the oceanfront down with all of our people. I mean, Dylan, you noted, hey, we get there on a Friday afternoon. You need to get there on a Friday afternoon. Number one, so you have a parking spot, right? But number two, to take part in that giant celebration, because it's not just a soccer tournament, right? It is kind of that capstone event for your entire year for soccer. School's about to get out that next week. Your outdoor season's done. You know, you're focusing on the summer now. And now this is that shoulder event that moves you into summer. And so the Virginia Beach Oceanfront is just an ideal place to hold this event. Number one, from a real estate standpoint, I mean, fitting 63 fields over the course of, you know, we utilize a total of 25 blocks with all the other sports that we do. But it's wide. There's tons of amenities. It's clean. There's tons of hotels and restaurants nearby. And they love it when sand soccer comes to town because they know their restaurants are going to be filled and all those beds are going to be filled in each one of the hotels.
I think one of the things, too, when I look at other events, and keep in mind, I didn't grow up in beach soccer culture, so a lot of this I'm learning second and third hand. But in my opinion, what makes our event look and feel different are two factors. One is what Matt touched on with the hotels, but I really want to stress that. The fact that our hotels literally line the entire boardwalk. So probably half of our attendees, they're watching the games from their hotel room. How cool is that? You know, you're sitting in your hotel, you're on your balcony, you can look down and see games, or you can see the stadium, you can hear the music. So I think from an ambiance standpoint, just the setup is really great compared to other locations that do the event where maybe their fields are 8, 10, 12 deep. We only go two rows. So you're super close to the action no matter where you are in the boardwalk. And I think that's pretty neat. And the other thing I would say, obviously, is just how supportive our city really has been. I think that's what makes it great, is they allow us to be great. You know, I'm known for pushing the envelope, but so is Matt Whalen. He's been here a lot longer than I have, and so is Dick Whalen. And so the reason we've been able to build a stadium on the beach is because they dreamed it up. And they thought of it, and you know, they're the ones that went to the city with the idea. And so I think that's what makes our event that's what makes Virginia Beach a great location, is that we have great community partners that allow us to keep pushing that envelope.
So Matt, you might be able to attest to this. The support obviously is great now, but before that rapport was kind of built, what did that support look like from the beginning stages?
Well, number one, nobody knew what beach soccer was. I mean, it was just like, what the heck are those people doing out there in April and May, right? And so early on in 1993, when this event started, we're sitting at one block with four fields on a blustery April, you know, day. City, we're going to need another two blocks this next year, right? We're going to need another four blocks this next year. We got to the point with the city where they were kind of like, all right, guys, we're done with it. We're moving you to the north end of the beach. You can get as big as you want to. We'll be in your way. You know, once we started spilling past that pier, the city kind of called a timeout and said, all right, we're going to move you guys up here. You can just live up here for now. Right. And so, but early on, people were learning a lot, right? It wasn't just the city that was learning a lot. We were learning a lot. Right. And after a while, we became, you know, kind of pseudo subject matter experts. And what you saw over the years is more and more events from the United States and from, you know, international events have come to Virginia Beach to, you know, let us be mentors to their event. Right. And so they would come just to see how this group ran this monster of an event. And they would take some of those lessons learned back to their own cities to see what they could do. So being a part of that, you know, just in development of the game has been really special to us as well. Number one, you're helping another event, but it also shows that you're doing it the right way and doing some really, really good things.
So what does the affiliation look like with maybe those national mm-hmm. organizations? So Beach Soccer Worldwide, for instance.
A great partner, just because they're the ones with the resources, right? Being affiliated with FIFA and all the different teams from around the world, they can identify teams, talent, tie us in media-wise. They give us a ton of exposure internationally just for who we are. And that carries a lot of weight, especially with the U.S. Open and what we're trying to do. Every year or two, we will have representatives from Beach Soccer Worldwide show up in Virginia Beach. And when you walk them from Atlantic Avenue, right, down one of those little stub streets onto the Virginia Beach Boardwalk, and they look to the north and to the south, and they see nothing but kids playing on the sand, it's just the biggest smile on their faces you'll ever see. It's really cool to kind of see that moment, because you know you're doing it right when the international bodies that oversee this sport are patting you on the back and saying, we've never seen anything like this before. This is absolutely amazing, which is normal for us because we know all the people in Virginia Beach love this event. But it's something special when the people that do this for a job say, you guys are doing this the right way and for the right reason, because it's a little 8-year-old kid out there kicking a ball.
And so when did you see that trend in maybe professional players and teams yeah. kind of being like, okay, this is the real deal? Because ultimately, you know, they're doing that, as you mentioned, a mm-hmm. profession. But how do you kind of get them on board saying, okay, this is like this right. is an event that we want
to
be
Well, I'll hard. Tell you what, you had Francis Farber off on here recently, the head coach of the women's national team and assistant to the men's for the United States. Francis was one of those guys that came up from Florida year after year after year when there was no U.S. Open. They just came up to play because there was another tournament to play in that beach soccer was a part of. And Francis coming up early on with the Flamelia team really exposed our guys who thought they were pretty good at outdoor soccer to, oh my gosh, this is how you're supposed to play beach soccer. Look at these guys, because they were all from Brazil. They all just played a totally different way. This is what they did on the weekends. And we were guys that showed up once a year to play on the sand. Once we started seeing how that game was played, it really took off. And a guy like Francis really did help spread that word. And as you come to the U.S. Open every year, our pro division, all of those teams aren't just, you know, a single team for that event. All of those folks have relationships with each other, team to team to team to team, right? And that's how this word gets out. It's from those folks that carry that torch when they go back to Spain or back to Italy or back to France or back to England, and spreading the word with their own folks. That's going to drive perhaps a new team coming from Colombia next year, right? Or from Peru the following year. It kind of took off really in the early 2000s with really taking the U.S. Open to that next level and turning it into, it was a pro-am event back then. And now it's kind of our flagship pro event, kind of the centerpiece of our whole North American Sand Soccer Championships.
I know that the professional players definitely appreciate this. How did the stadium come about? When was there like, okay, you know, we need to have this?
There are a lot of different phases throughout its life. It started with just kind of a berm of sand about 5 feet high to give people something to sit on to watch kind of this top men's division. And then that berm got a little bit higher every year. And then we started adding some signs to the top of it. And then we put some berms behind the goals. And then we knew, you know what, this could get to be something really, really special. We had Fox Sports come in 1 year and televise a game between the U.S. national team for the men and the women against the Canadian men and women beach national team, right? And so they built a stadium for that. We sat about close to 5,000 people in that stadium. And then it was kind of like okay, we can do this every year. Maybe not that big, but we can do something like that. And so the stadium you see now has kind of been an amalgam of all of those different timelines. So you'll see bits and pieces now. Heck, we even have a beer tent sitting right behind one of the goals now, which is a huge bonus.
Solid addition.
Which is a huge bonus to some of those adults down there to be able to stand about 5 feet away from, you know, a ball going in the back of the net. I don't know how many events you can do that around the world. So just that intimacy with bringing the fans that much closer to the field. I mean, you're 10 feet away from the field, you know, on any sideline or inline at that point. So that accessibility to the game, to the pros, between the fans, with the kids especially, has been huge for us. And that's a focus. As Lauren and I plan the event throughout the year, we are looking, like she said, we learn every year. We learn from what maybe didn't work last year, and we're going to try to improve upon it the next year. And we had a lot of great plans for this year that might, you know, kind of be in limbo right now, depending on this whole coronavirus thing. But we'll definitely be employing those as we get back to the sand.
So, Lauren, as the newest member to the team, how in your time with the tournament, how have you seen it kind of grow in the brief time that you've been there?
So I think we've embraced technology. I think we're doing more things with technology to communicate with our teams better. The platforms we're using, we use Event Connect right now for scheduling, hotels, registration, for all of it. And so kind of as we've become a little bit more sophisticated with our event, so has our technology. We were able to send push notifications and just communicate with folks that way. You know, I was amazed when I got here almost three years ago that it really was put on by like a mom and pop group. I mean, it just was. It was homegrown out of love. And it became an event that's raised over $5 million. Like, it's, I just was blown away as an event professional that a small group of volunteers could have such an impact. And I think the other way it's changed is some of the partners and some of the vendors. We've gotten a little bit more sophisticated on the sponsorship game. We're a little bit more professional, a little bit more involved with the opportunities and the rights and benefits we offer. And so our sponsorship, you know, budget has almost doubled annually, which we're really proud of. Because, again, what makes our event different than some of the other events that hosts beach soccer tournaments is all of the money that's raised from this tournament goes back into our complex. And we're a 501c3 nonprofit organization. And so, you know, while other events may be a little bit more flashy or have a little bit other things that maybe we don't have, you know, we know at the end of the day, we're working to fund a 75-acre, 24-field soccer complex. Some of the other ways changed a little bit is we've gotten better through digitizing the tournament. So things like all of our electronic communications, our programs, sponsorship advertising opportunities that are digital. We now have these two huge video boards that are in the stadium. And so we're showing sponsorships ads. We're showing, we actually last year, I think was the first year we did the live stream. Is that right? Yeah, so we're now live streaming some of our games. So that's exciting. Again, we've just really embraced technology over the last few years.
So Dylan, to piggyback onto that, again, Lauren put a really big term out there, 501c3, right? So being a nonprofit, we, and being the size of the event that we are, we know how much potential is out there, perhaps for the U.S. Open and some of these other things. However, for kind of a charity organization, where do you draw that line of maybe doing too much and taking away from the organization, right? Or doing so much to become that event? Do we need to be, you know, something that giant or offer this much money to pro teams or with all of these bells and whistles? There's a lot of great ideas out there that we know we could go and do. But with those great ideas come a great price tag as well. And so just understanding what those are and really, do we really need to take away from the complex to maybe make some of those decisions? So Lauren does a great job with prioritizing all of those things, even though it'd be great to have some of the best players, you know, and best teams in the world come here to Virginia Beach, and they want to, and we would love to have you. However, we need to be really thoughtful about how we go about that. We have a great product with what we're doing right now. And, you know, again, the biggest thing here is what's best for the complex, right? And so that's the generator here of all of our decisions.
So talking about that price tag, what does staff look like in terms of for the event? I can imagine the numbers.
Okay, well, paid staff.
Yeah. Air quotes on that one.
So I'm going to say paid staff, and I'll kind of elaborate. So we have a small group of folks that work year round. You're looking at probably 10 to 12 people who work on the event year round, between part-time folks, full-time folks, and folks from our affiliate soccer clubs that form kind of this core committee. There's about 10 to 12 folks. Then about, you know, a month, 2 months beforehand, we really beef up our staff, and we have everything from tent coordinators to stadium operators to scorekeepers, registration staff. I would say our core committee of folks ends up being closer to probably at least 40 people that run the event. And, you know, for a lot of people, it's just been a labor of love. This event has the most dedicated, like, long-standing volunteers and staff members that I've ever seen at an event. I always jokingly say, I'm the new kid on the block, and I've been here for 3 years. Like, when am I not going to be
the new
kid on the block anymore? But I know. And it's that every year we, at our tent coordinator meeting or committee meeting, a couple weeks before the event, Matt always makes a point to like have people raise their hands if they've been involved for, you know, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 25 years. And it's rare if anybody on our committee has been involved for less than 10 years. A lot of folks have been involved for 15 to 20 years. And I just think that's a testament to this event. You know, I think that's why it's been so successful is, you know, we have that longevity, we have that consistency. When you have a group of people who love an event, like our committee loves this event, it's set up for success. It's going to be successful. They're the ones who provide the vibe. I mean, you know, you've been to our event. Our staff, we're always having a good time. Everyone's having fun. Everyone's laughing. It's beach culture. And as a New Yorker who didn't understand what beach culture was, I had to embrace the beach culture a little bit. But it's been fun, but I really think that's a big piece of our success is that, you know, we're so fortunate to have, you know, these 40, 50 core committee members who've been with us, a lot of them since day one or from the first few years. You know, we're super lucky and fortunate, honestly, to have Matt Whalen and his wife, Kristen, and, you know, his brother-in-law comes out and runs all of our scheduling and our scoring. You know, as much as we want to say this event is, you know, it is to benefit the Hampton Roads Soccer Complex, I just always say we'd be remiss to say that it was built on the shoulders of the Whalen family. You know, they're the ones that had the vision. You know, I'm really grateful. And I'll try not to cry because sometimes I like to tear up when I talk about this, but, beach culture, we're upbeat right now. But I'm being honest when I say that, you know, I'm really, really glad that the Hampton Roads Soccer Council board had the forethought to bring me in my position a year before Dick Whalen retired, because I had a year to sit beside him and to learn from him and to hear all of the stories. Sometimes repeatedly. I just kept hearing the same story.
No, they're such great stories, though.
They are. And to hear his stories and to see and understand his passion and to see and understand his vision. You know, we were able to do some cool things in that last year, some interviews and things between with Matt and his dad, with News Channel 3, with WTKR Channel 3, with Adam Winkler. And we're fortunate for that. We're fortunate to have, you know, media members that love our story and want to tell our story as much as we do. So I know that's kind of a long roundabout answer, but I just do think it's important that, yes, we've had a great core group of volunteers, but at the center of that core is the Whalen family. There's no sand soccer event without the Whalen family. And anybody who thinks that is not accurate.
Hey, Dylan, let me be clear on one thing. When Lauren says we have full-time people that work this, she's actually lying, because Lauren has a regular day job as executive director of the soccer complex. So most of her time goes to the complex, right? And so everybody that is working on this event really is in a part-time capacity. There's nobody solely dedicated to to this event. And so, you know, when Dad started this, Dad was still a director of military operations at Old Dominion University, right? This was his, you know, this was his side hustle that he was doing, right? And so this kind of, like, as Lauren alludes to, really a mom and pop thing. It was that for a long time. And as Lauren came in, she was able to provide kind of a better focus in, hey, we have somebody in the office all the time dedicated to sponsors, to strategic planning, to looking into the future and setting what fire we need to put out for that week, right? So she has a lot more bandwidth, and the way we've set up our HRSC organization has allowed us the opportunity to do a lot of different things with the sand soccer tournament. The way Lauren and I work, you know, Lauren is, you know, executive director of the Hampton Roads Soccer Council. And so Lauren is, you know, we communicate on a daily basis, and there are so many things that kind of, you know, whether it's something that, you know, really is in my swim lane or her swim lane, but really we're folded into every single decision that we do. There's not a lot of organizations that operate that way, right? And so, you know, our motto is, if you've spoken to Lauren, you've spoken to Matt, and vice versa. And we really do, you know, kind of run this organization in that way for the soccer tournament. And it's communication is huge. In any organization you are, that's normally where a lot of the breakdowns occur. But we really do are honest with each other. We're objective with each other. Mm-hmm. And Lauren coming in, you know, you hear her, hey, I'm 3 years into the job and I'm the newcomer. I'm always going to be the newcomer. That's a huge plus for our organization, because we've done it a certain way for so long that a lot of times we haven't picked our head up to look around about what we can do different. And Lauren really does bring that really objective opinions a lot of times to the table that may be different than how we've thought, but it has allowed us to take it to the next level in a lot of things that we do.
So do either of you think before Dick retired, this event would have got to where it's at now?
No way. Well, see, I'm going to go first and then I'll let Matt, because my initial thought would say no way, knowing what I know as an outsider about the sports community. But then part of me wants to say absolutely, because if you met Dick Whalen and you knew him, this is the tip of the iceberg for what his goals and his dreams are. So absolutely. I mean, I think if you thought, hey, could Lauren Bland create this and in 5 years it become this mega event? I mean, maybe, but there's not a lot of people with the passion, like relentless passion of Dick Whalen. And so when you think of him being involved in the event and Matt and his whole family, absolutely. I mean, there's nothing that Dick Whalen and his family can't do when they put their minds to it. So absolutely is my answer.
You know, the thing is, Dad probably hoped, you know, as he kind of retired from the event and he passed away this past summer, Dad probably hoped, seriously, I think way down, you know, in the recesses of his brain, hoped that we would all fall flat on our face.
Oh,
and
yeah.
it couldn't get any better than when Dad was running right?
When Dick was running
yeah,
there's no
it had
way
to be the best.
This young girl could do it.
Right.
But here
right.
we are. Yay.
Yep. But his measure of success was, how can we be better than last year? How can we be better than last year? How many more teams can we get? And that was always the push with the clubs and for us as an organization. But, you know, Dad's vision was, you know, being the biggest in the world and being kind of that, you know, as we always say, we're the granddaddy of them all with the size that we are. I know that really brings a smile to his face and something he always strove for. But we always can be better as an organization, as an event. And we always look for those opportunities that are out there. And I think we take steps forward every single year to take us there. And we're recognized by the community as that. So, you know, you in California know about this event, not just by being a local, but I guarantee you there's a lot of folks in California that know about this event. or have been at this event, right? And so this event goes a long way across borders, just because of that foundation that Dad set back in 1993 when, you know, really this thing got started. You know, I was a Beach FC kid growing up. The guy that was the representative for Umbro back then, you remember Umbro, soccer ball, provided all of our kits, right, for Beach FC back then. And Dad was the president of Beach FC back in the day. And this guy from Umbro says, hey, have you ever thought about beach soccer? You know, it's this thing that's kind of starting up. You know, you guys would be perfect for it here. And so, light bulb went off. Let's go and see if we can make some money for our club, our organization. And little did we know about that spark that we lit way, way, way back then into what it would turn into now. You know, and that's the kind of boiled down history of the event. It's just kind of something that happened. You know, somebody mentioned flippantly about, hey, you should really try this. And, you know, little did they know who Dick Whalen was and what this guy would do. And it turned into really a love affair with, you know, how can I turn this into a better product year after year after year? And so it's something that's drawn the whole community in, the whole soccer environment in Virginia Beach in. And, you know, if you are a youth player in Virginia Beach or heck, any of the surrounding cities in the 757, sand soccer is built into your calendar. It's in your family's calendar. It's in your team budget. You reserve your hotel rooms the year prior for the next year. There's not a lot of events at the Virginia Beach Oceanfront that can say, I have people that live a mile away from this hotel. However, that person's staying in my hotel for two nights this weekend. But we can say that. There's not a lot of other events that can say that. And that's something really, really special because it's just something that everybody wants to be a part of this party, a part of this event, because it's nothing but happiness and smiles down there. It's that beach culture, right, Lauren? And so we're extremely
Lauren's,
proud of that.
Lauren's throwing up shakas right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, she didn't know how to do that a few years ago. So,
nope. didn't even know I had a name. Here we go.
Yep.
So, Lauren, if you could talk a little bit about the Dick Whalen Soccer Scholarship, that would be great.
Yeah, so when Dick passed, as Matt mentioned, over the summer, one of the things we did was create a memorial fund for Dick, and we really didn't know what to expect. The community ended up completely rallying around Dick Whalen, and we raised almost $38,000. It was absolutely incredible. People donated from his early days, from his early clubs, from his time in Northern Virginia, his military folks, soccer folks, everybody donated. And it was awesome. And so what we were able to do is put some bleachers on one of our turf fields at the complex. Turf Field 6 is now going to be called the Dick Whalen Stadium, which is absolutely awesome. And the second thing we wanted to do was to create something with a lasting legacy. You know, the bleachers are great, but we wanted to do something every year. And so we created a $5,000 soccer scholarship. It's called the Dick Whalen Soccer Scholarship. And it's given out to seniors who have participated in one of our affiliate clubs. They either have to be a player themselves or the child of a parent that plays or coaches in one of our affiliate clubs. And again, those are Beach FC, Virginia Rush, the Over 30 Soccer League, and the Southeastern Virginia Women's Soccer Association. And, you know, we formed a committee of folks that were really kind of near and dear to Dick Whalen and had an impact on their lives for sure. And this year's applicants, you know, I joke all the time, man, I did not stand a chance. Like when you look at the applicants this year, there are some dynamite kids coming out of our communities, academically, community service driven, their soccer skills. It's an absolutely awesome class that we were able to award this year. We're actually going to be announcing the winners in the next couple of weeks. And obviously because of COVID-19, we are not able to have sand soccer this year in June. So we are working on something special to do for our recipients this summer, because although our event is scheduled, you know, August 7th to the 9th, a lot of our recipients are going on to play Division I soccer, so they most likely won't be in town. So we're working on something for that. But in theory, the idea, and we'll really get to do this in 2021, is to do a big presentation in our stadium at Sand Soccer, you know, in the stadium with the crowd rocking, and really recognize all of our recipients. So that's something that we've committed to indefinitely. So as long as we have the Sand Soccer tournament, we will have the Dick Whalen Soccer Scholarship as well.
It's amazing. So with the event being August 7th through 9th, I definitely wanted to plug that in on this podcast for anyone who's listening who was obviously bummed. I know I was in terms of the date in June being pushed, but definitely excited as well to see that it's looking to be played in August. I know that I'll be coming back to see family, but then also put in a co-ed team to play with my friends. Mm-hmm. So I'm super excited about that.
Awesome.
Matt, Lauren, I really appreciate y'all coming on, talking about this great event and its history. I definitely look forward to future years of it because I know, like you all have mentioned countless times, it's something that, you know, everyone looks forward to every year. And just thank you for all your hard work, you and your staff, for just being as dedicated as you are. And I know that the Virginia Beach community definitely appreciates it as well.
Dylan, thanks for having us on today, man. We really appreciate everything that you're doing and spreading the word and driving the sport forward. So thanks for having Lauren and I on behalf of the North American Sand Soccer Championships.
And thanks, Dylan. We'll save you a VIP seat at our stadium in August. So thanks again for having us. Thanks for listening.
That's big time.
Yep.
Thank you so much. This has been #SpreadTheSand. Thanks for listening.
See you, everybody.